Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I'm going to tell you my theory from, what was my theory in like end of 2019, 2020, and now I'm not sure what to make of it. When she's like, it sounds weird, and I'm like, I am fucking weird, what do you want?
I just popped off a little bit. Anyone who actually gives a fuck, I want to know, like their first outlet is not Facebook.
You know, 18-wheeler truck drives by you at 90 miles an hour and you swerved and almost lose control. That would happen to me 5 times in a 12-mile drive. The coma wasn't a coma. I was conscious through it and stuck like that for 9 months and 7 weeks, overhearing everything.
9 months and 7 weeks? What kind of math is that? What are you talking about?
3 weeks. You know, it's brain injury math.
Here's part 3 of our interview with Chelsea.
All right, welcome back. You never know.
And it sounds, correct me if I'm wrong, Chelsea, you don't really like know Jake's story, what happened, et cetera, only that like things got dicey, he's still here, he's no longer with Ellen. Is that the extent, like what do you think you know?
Yeah, so I know that there is a theory in my brain, it has something to do with poison, but I could have made that up by myself, honestly. I just know that the story on Facebook very much changed from it was 100% my drug use to maybe not so much, and that maybe it involved L. I don't know if we went over this, but Rachel has a friend who dated a friend of Jake's. It's like a whole thing of telephone. And that's how I found out the story changed and that it involved L. So Jake had told his theory to one of his friends who got back to me through the grapevine, but I don't know how accurate. Yeah, it was by the time it got to me. That's all I know. I've been interested. I would love to watch and see Blink. I haven't had time. And then as soon as we started talking, I was like, I don't really want to spoil it to some extent.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to falsely create my own memories, right? Like right now they're purely mine. And I don't want any biases.
No, that's perfect. And it will be interesting when you do have time and do a deep dive. Like, I just wonder what it'll do to your memory. And it'll be like, oh my God, I have this here too. Or who knows, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll take it away. Yeah. What was not in Blink is like what I actually think possibly happened. You know, I don't know. I'm still trying to put the pieces together. But from everything I've learned from what happened to me to both the people I've reconnected with, family, even to this day, you know, talking with you, I'm going to tell you my theory from, what was my theory in like end of 2019, 2020, and now I'm not sure what to make of it. But okay, so I met Elle, similar to you, instant connection. I mean, yeah, it was just very intense and we fell for each other and we met each other and we never spent a day apart until we got married. And that was like 3 or 4 months later. So first night out, our first night actually out. We met at the Horseshoe Pub in Hudson. I worked there. I saw her. We like flirted. We talked, but we never really hung out till a month later. Go out. We're like at this EDM show, and she's like, So I kind of really like you. I got to ask you this one thing, though. What was the name we're using for your friend?
Rachel.
Rachel.
Other one?
Scott.
Scott.
Scott. I assume this is probably about Scott, but I didn't know this at the time. She was like, I just got to ask you one thing. You don't do opiates, do you? Actually, I was like selling them and doing them, but I was like actively trying to stop. And in my mind, I was like, well, I can tell her the truth and that's that. But I really like her and I'm actively trying to stop. And like, just maybe if I get with someone, you know, I could. So yep, I lied. And I said, no, I mean, I've done them, but I don't do them. Total lie. Okay. So fast forward, we're like spent every day together. We're getting more serious. And I'm at work and my car is like messy and she's trying to do something nice for me. Cleans my car out, finds a bunch of burnt tinfoil, right? And, you know, I'm caught and she flips out. I mean, we're talking like scorched earth and I never saw that side of her. And I was like, and just rattling into me like, you're the worst. You lied to me, this, the other. And, you know, I thought the reaction was crazy. I really did. But I was like, I did lie. And like, people are sensitive to these drugs. I know that. And so I like, you know, I, whatever, it was on me, you know. So fast forward, we work through it. I get clean. We have a miscarriage, a relapse. And when I say clean, I mean clean, cleaner than I've ever been from opiates, but not clean. We have a miscarriage, I relapse. Our relationship is like not good, but we're not like broken up. We're just like bad relationship.
Then, can I ask, is this all, how much time has passed now?
We're at like 3.5 months.
Because I'm just trying to figure out like how much opportunity did you really have?
Yeah.
To see different sides.
Well, I start to see all these sides as the relationship's going down, but I'm like back into it heavy and I'm just like, whatever. And also, well, that doesn't even matter. I'll just, there's a lot going on. So we like, she knows I'm now like an addict on this, but you know, we get pregnant again and like things are better. And then she's like, I don't want to be showing my, you know, I always wanted to get married before I have a kid. And I'm like, well, I love you. Let's do that if you wanted to do that. And she's like, yeah, well, I don't want to be showing my wedding dress. So we like totally rush it. So next thing, we're just like having a New Year's Eve wedding. Photos you saw. Okay. So by the end of the wedding, she is like smoking dope with me. She's doing heroin now. And
at the wedding. You've never done it before?
After the wedding.
And your thought is like, this is the first time she's done this?
Yeah. Do you know otherwise?
No. I'm purely just trying to figure out the scenario. I mean,
and by the way, I knew her as like a party girl for sure. Like we took Molly and did blow together that first night we went out, but opiates was like a thing with her. Like, you know, she's like yelling at me for doing it. We're in the hotel after the wedding and I'm like doing it. I haven't done it all day. And she's like, let me try that. So she tries it. Like she almost like conned me into doing it. I mean, I know I'm like the bad influence here, the guy that had it, but she was like, you're such a hypocrite. Like you do this shit. And I'm like, L, like it's so addicting. I wish I could stop. Like, I don't want, like, you don't want this. It's not fun. And she just, like, calls me into it. And then she gets, like, dope sick from it. I think we, like, went to, like, Chatham for our honeymoon, one of my favorite spots. It was, like, not even a real honeymoon, but she ends up like dope sick on that. She's just like railing into me. It's all my fault. And yeah, I felt that way. So it's like marriage is like from the night of the wedding, it was just like bad.
Going great.
Yeah. And she hates the heroin, hates it. Okay. So we're in marriage counseling, like month two of our marriage.
And this is early 2017.
It's right? Early 2017. And we're like.
And is there a baby in the picture right now or not?
Miscarriage again. We found out right before the wedding. We were like, do we cancel it? Do we, like, everyone was invited, everything was paid for, we decided to do it anyway. I mean, I was kind of like, I do love you, like, you know, like, so no, but everything's like real bad. Yeah, February 2017, probably in marriage counseling, everything's not going good. So then come May, and I start feeling, I don't even notice it, but I'm just like, not quite right. My voice is a little higher pitched. And I notice I'm starting to like talk less because my voice is off. And I know I sound weird, but I'm like pushing it back. And then Elle starts, and she's mad at me all the time. And she's like, what are you, like, drunk? And I'm like, no, it's 7 a.m. I'm going to work. And she's like, you sound drunk. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm not drunk. She's like, well, what's wrong with your voice? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, it sounds weird. And I'm like, I am fucking weird. What do you want? And so I put this off for like 2 weeks. And then it's like my balance is like a little off. And I'm going down the hallway and I got to hold the walls when I'm like walking. So like, I didn't realize at the time I was getting sick. I don't know why, but in retrospect, I definitely should have. Let me back up. One other thing I want to mention about a month prior to that. And like, again, I'm like selling heroin at the time. I'm using heroin on a daily basis by smoking it. And I noticed I had the little bags that would sell, and I had like a 10 gram like personal stash. And I noticed that tasted different, my stuff. And I called my connection. It's already out in the world. Adrian, who I used to like date. And I was like, hey, is this stuff like different? She's like, no, it's been the same for years. It's always the same. And I'm like, does yours taste different? She's like, no. And she's like, why does yours? And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm asking other people I sell it to. And they're like, no, it's the same. And I'm like, and they all smoke it. And, you know, even my dad was like doing it. And he was like, yeah, it's the same. I'm like, let me try it some years. I try it. I'm like, weird. My stuff's different. Don't think much of it. Okay. So then I'm like, the speech thing, the balance thing. And then last thing, it's swerving. Like, I just like all of a sudden on a 12-mile trip, I would have like 5 close, like, you know, 18-wheeler truck drives by you at 90 miles an hour and you swerved and almost lose control. That would happen to me 5 times in a 12-mile drive. It never happened before. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Jake? Pull yourself together. Then I get pulled over, probably in one of these swerves, and I was late for work. And, you know, my voice is weird. I get ripped out of the car, searched, arrested, booked, bailed myself out. And I can, like, now I'm like walking with this weird walk. And basically, that was Memorial Day weekend. And a day later, that was like May 23rd. So May 24th, the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, I was like, are you going to go to the hospital yet? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And she called like an ambulance for me, and the ambulance came. I really didn't want to go. And I get taken to the ER. I think it'll be like any other time. I think that was the day I knew something was really wrong, because before the ambulance came up, like what any drug addict would do, it's like, oh, I should like take a hit or do a bump, right? And I go, I have this like huge, like 10 gram bag, and I can't even untie the little baggy knot. And I'm like, something I've done for like the last, you know, 15 years of my life. And I just spill the whole thing on the floor, and I'm like, oh my God, something's like wrong. So I can still walk, but I get taken by ambulance. I still think I have my dad pick me a pack of cigarettes. It'd be the last pack of cigarettes I never even opened, you know, and yeah, life would never be the same. They're about to discharge me, but you know, they're like, we think you're having a stroke. And I'm like, well, this has been happening for like 2 weeks. I don't think it's a stroke. And they're like, any drug use? I'm like, yeah, like, you know, I've been smoking heroin up tinfoil for like 7 years. And they're like, crazy. Okay, interesting. Good data point. And then Ellen comes in, plays my voicemail. Sorry, I'm doing horrible on time. You're in it. Plays my voicemail. They hear two different voices. They admit me, get an emergency MRI. And in the morning, I get diagnosed with this terminal progressive disease, given 6 months to live. And I'm like, how did this happen? And they're like, well, thanks for being honest with us about your drug use. You know, this disease, extremely rare, but it can only be caused by inhalation of a toxin. I'm like, so I did this to myself. And they're like, the drugs you did had a toxin. Like, okay, what toxin? They're like, we don't know. Probably a pesticide. And I'm like, well, why is no one else sick? And they're like, well, that's because people that do heroin inject it. They don't smoke it. And I'm like, well, I know like 40 people that have been smoking the same stuff like in my circle for the last like couple of years. And they're like, interesting. Do you still have some? Like, we could test it. And I look at Ellen, and she's like, no. And they're like, you could bring in a kilo right now. Like, you will not get in trouble. She's like, no. I'm just told that I have 6 months to live. She's like, furious at me, blaming this on me, mad at me. And I'm like, fucking, doesn't matter, I'm dead anyway. Like, whatever. So, everything they said would happen happened. I went rapidly downhill month by month until they told me you lose all function, you slip into a coma, and you'll pass away. The coma wasn't a coma. I was conscious through it and stuck like that for 9 months and 7 weeks, overhearing everything. And Ellen,
9 months and 7 weeks? What kind of math is that? What are you talking about?
3 weeks. You know, it's brain injury math. I'm just trying
at to no time. At no time were you like, there's a bunch of heroin on the floor of my bedroom and I'm curious what this is?
There was brief thoughts of that, but there was also like, I'm dying.
Yeah, they just told you were dying, right? I mean, fair. Okay.
there was a lot of that. But then when I was locked in, so she also did very questionable things during that time. She systematically started disconnecting me from everyone I knew as I'm dying. So it started with like friends, because they're a bad influence. They can't see you. I'm like, you know what? I sound weird. I look weird. I'm in so much pain. I don't want them to see me like this. Then it was extended family. Then it was anyone that Ellen, that pissed her off that day. Then it was like, your aunt can't come. Then it was like, no one except my dad. Then, then there's a lot there. Then it was like me and her. And then she posted about, she controlled my Facebook. She was posting as me, being like, my wife is taking such great care of me. She was she was just doing so much shit. And I overheard everything she was doing. And then she even, I heard later, she posted about my funeral, which never happened.
Wait, like on her Facebook or on your Facebook?
unhurt and posted about how she was leaving me. She can't take it anymore. Yeah, just like, but I don't know this at the time. All I know is she's disconnecting me from everyone I knew. The fight between her and my dad, the fight between her and my brother, all this I know.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Everyone who acts, sorry, I just popped off a little bit.
Don't be
stupid. Do it.
Anyone who actually gives a fuck, I want to know, like their first outlet is not Facebook. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's that performative bullshit that makes me immediately think, like, what really is this? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I've never been married. And, like, you know, but I've been in love with a drug addict before. Like, similar scenario. And I can tell you what. Every time he got sick, every time, like, I was beside myself and no one fucking knew about it. Like,
I mean, that's why, like, yeah. Going through this story with someone that understands her, like, diabolical tendencies, it's like, you know, it, and can talk to the performativeness and stuff. I mean, that's everything anyone has to say about it.
Yeah, that's some buy an apron at Walmart bullshit. Like,
yeah,
my wife is taking such good care of me. Come on.
There's one other thing before I fast forward to my actual theory.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
We talked about this a bunch on episode 1, but I would like to get Chelsea's reaction to this. So the doctors are like, he's not going to make it past Christmas. You know, I can overhear everything. I'm just like totally comatose and frozen. Look, they don't necessarily know I'm in there. And she's like, well, before he passes away, I would like to get a sample. And, you know, I'm fully with it. And
like a sample.
So I knew exactly what she was talking about, but they're like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, we always want to have kids, and like, since he's not gonna make it before he dies, I would like to get a sample. And like, in her defense, it was briefly talked about a week after diagnosis about the idea of me freezing some sperm in case, because the fact is, like, I did want to have kids one day, but it never went anywhere. So they were like, oh no, you can't do that for two reasons. Reason one, he can't consent. Reason two, the symbol act might kill him. And she goes, how dare you tell me what I will or will not do with my fucking husband? If you don't like it or you don't want to watch, get the fuck out.
That sounds like some L shit right there.
I'll never forget that ever. So anyway, this went on for not once, not twice, but for weeks. And it was, you know, I believe a doctor that I spoke to, you know, He said it was a logistical nightmare for our hospital. Nursing was in an uproar, and they were.
Well, because you were
understand the situation. When you say this happened not once, not twice, are you saying this argument happened not once, not twice, but like that?
I've coined it the milking.
Okay, I just threw up.
And keep it like, keep in mind, Jake was like locked in, right? Like he was not like, he, you know, he was consciously there, but not, no one knew that he was there.
And I'm like on a ventilator and feeding, like this is, this, the more I look through the notes, because I'm thinking about the movie, like the scene of what I look like must have been a nightmare. And but I went on for a long time.
I have a lot of questions, Jake. My first question is, why so many times? Like, if the goal was a sample, did she get that? I don't.
So eventually, the first thing I heard was nursing comes in after to like clean me up. They were very upset about this. And they were like, you know, she's going to take it to the cryogenics, just put it in a specimen cup. It doesn't work like that way. And then she came back, like, I don't know how many hours later, because I couldn't see clock. But she was like, get out, not viable, have to do it again. And then this is why it kept happening. But I still to this day have no idea how much was actually, how much a viable sperm was actually taken and frozen. And all I know is it certainly was. And she,
you
like,
you know that it was frozen?
Yeah, because like in divorce court, like, well, I'm like nonverbal, in partially verbal in the hospital. My divorce lawyer was like, is there anything else? And I'm like, oh yeah, the sperm. I should probably get that back. She's like, what? And yeah, we had to like track it down, and then it was moved. It's just like comedy. It's honestly like dark comedy. So we finally get it back.
What do you think is frozen, and how much of it do you think is like on the black market? I don't even, like, is that even science?
Is what?
Is that even science? Like, can you just like take a cup of sperm to a place and be like, freeze this, please? And they'll just be like, okay.
I don't know. Justin, we should ask your brother, wifey.
Yeah. And in the last episode, like, we pulled up this medical record that she provided a couple months ago that is signed by two doctors, allegedly, and has all this handwritten notes in there that say, there's clips on his social about it that say she has the rights to his sperm for whatever purposes she wishes to use it for, like, even after his death. So then my question to Jake was like, do you know if the number of vials that were like checked in to the cryogenic place got destroyed? You know, like, do you know that math? You know, brain injury math, by the way, is
wrong.
My new favorite kind of math.
Oh, yeah. 9 months and 7 weeks. We're only getting 10 and a half months or something.
Oh my God.
Anyway, mayhem. Now, I know you have a lot more questions. As do I, honestly. And Ellen, we would love you to come on. You never know. That'd be, you know, talk about number one on the charts. I mean, okay. So here's my theory that So I survived this 10 months of locked in, the excessive jerk off and milking till I survived all that, hospice, all of it. So,
I keep seeing my own face after I've already made it. And I'm like, I hope this doesn't go on the internet, even though I know
it's going to go. And I'm sorry I make both of your faces.
I didn't even know my face could like bend like with this much cringe. Continue.
I know. It's bad. Okay. Survive all of it. And I think I am brainwashed to a point where I'm like, I came to terms with it. I'm never going to see my family ever again. She saved my life. I'm with her for forever. And that was like, okay.
In your mind, Jake, like, how did she save your life in that moment? By calling the ambulance?
It's a really good question. No. Well, it certainly wasn't. She didn't make it easy. I don't think it would ever have been easy, but the fact that she was an excellent caregiver. She was the best and the worst. She was the worst at dealing with people, But when it came
to there every day and
caring for me, like, she threw herself in the role. She was so good at it. She knew what I needed. She seriously could know what I needed or wanted without me being verbal. It was great.
And it sounds like she could use her persuasiveness to like get you what she thought you needed type thing, pretty like aggressively.
Yes. And then there were things that obviously I didn't need to be. I won't say it again. I won't say it.
Was her family present for any of this? Like, obviously she had isolated you from everyone you know, but like, was her support system there?
Her mom was around a lot.
Okay. That's interesting.
That's a whole nother story. But yeah, I just want to keep going on this thread. So anyway, I survived this ordeal, all of it. And she gets me in Spalding. She was around the clock. Once I start becoming nonverbal, can communicate nonverbally, she took a big step back. And then it was like she went from being around all the time to like one day a week for a few hours to like not so much. And then it was like, just kind of ghosted me. And just, she would like text and like, you know, keep in mind, it's not like I can just like grab a phone and
yeah.
I mean, I'm like very much like can't fucking move, paralyzed. And I thought that was really weird, but I chalked it up to she needed a break. Because she was like just 24/7 my caregiver. I mean, by her own accord, because she isolated everyone and no one could do it right and only her. But I was like confused by it, right? I was like,
well, Jake, she's really important. I mean, she's the COO of a bike shop.
Like, yeah.
She's got shit to do.
She's got like 3 jobs on top of that position.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, but I'm like thinking in my head, I'm like, that's really weird. Like, we always thought about, wonder if I could be like the only survivor in the world from this disease, and then we could go back to our life. And then to like get through that, and now it's happening slowly, but like it's to then like kind of ghost me. It's like bizarre. Then I started thinking about all the other stuff. Then I start trying to reconnect with my family, and then I do, and then I learn all the stuff she put them through that I couldn't overhear, and the stuff that I did overhear, but I wanted more clarity on in the Facebook post and the this and the that. So my theory became, wonder if she did this to me. Wonder if she put something in my stuff. And my theory was, not to kill me, because at the time I didn't think she was that sick, but who knows now. My theory was she hated the opiate so much. Maybe she put something in there to like make me sick for a few days to make me not want to do it anymore.
Totally. So do you remember how she acted but in that time when you started like feeling weird and voice was changing and whatever? Like, did she react differently? Did she like expect that, you know what I mean? Like, you would, can you like go back to that time and think about how she reacted to you getting sick? Like, almost like, did she expect it, you know? And then was she like, we need to go call an ambulance, cause like, you're probably sick. Cause like,
but like, or is she so detached from reality? Right? Like, was it a situation where she wanted it to make you throw up? And so in her mind, if anything other than throw up happened, that was not on her. That wasn't her, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But to answer your question, Justin, things were not good in a relationship. She was mad at me all the time during this time thing. My voice was weird. And she would be like, what's up with your voice? Well, you should go to the... So she was kind of like, you should go get yourself checked out. But like, I think anyone would have done that.
Yeah.
But
you can't remember anything being like off or weird about her behavior necessarily.
I know that. She knew where my personal stash was. She knew where all my shit was. But no. And my theory was, I mean, she couldn't have possibly known this sort of caused what it caused. And when they said pesticide. That was rattling around my brain. And I was like, should go to Home Depot and get some weed whacker or something? I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, the fact is, you never know. I'll never know.
And your theory is that, like, she wasn't trying to kill you, obviously, but probably try to get you sick to try to get – because was she still using then too or no?
Okay. No, I mean, total hothead and, you know,
party. Yeah, but also –
and frankly, I mean, I don't know. All I know is what she chose to show me. That's all I know of her. So I don't know.
And then, Chelsea, there was this, like, random phone call that Jake had in 2022 that from her ex-boyfriend where he just, like, out of the blue for no reason texted Jake without Jake saying anything to him. Hey, by the way, do you think you were poisoned? Like, without Jake. Yeah. And I was there for that. And then they had a conversation on the phone. I was there for this. And he was like, yeah, dude, she still has your hospice meds. Because he was in hospice. And, like, 2.5 years, this is in 2022. So, you know. 3 years after hospice, whatever, 2.5 years later, he was like, my dog got lethargic, lost all its hair. And he was like, she like jokingly says, like, you know, you never know what I'm going to do to you because, you know, look how Jake turned out, kind of thing. Type shit.
That's what he said. And we can't find him. I can't find him.
You can't find him?
No. I never talked to him again. I mean, I tried.
He reached out to you, and you got his name and number, but then he just fell off?
Yeah.
I mean, you reached out to him for blank, and he never responded. So, like, yeah, that plus she didn't bring the heroin in. Yeah. Plus so much more. And
so much more. It's just, like, all – you put it all together, and you're like, I still don't know what to make of it.
Yeah. I do think that there has been evidence of Elle detaching from reality in quite a few scenarios that I was in. And I just wonder if this is one of those things. Like, you know, the story about the house and the job, and I don't know how she got those things. I don't. And I don't know how serious they were. All I know is what I saw and my feelings about what I saw. But I really do believe that she believed the things that she was telling me. At no point in time did I feel like she was being purposefully, like, malicious or dishonest, if that makes sense. Like, I really feel like she felt like she was this boss bitch who created this life for herself. And I think she just completely dissociated with the people, the places, the things that, like, actually got her there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like it's a form of narcissism too, to some extent, you know, to, like, truly believe lies, essentially, that you're making up about your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her mom bought her parents bought her that house, and when they sold it, her parents sold it. Like, she was put on, like, as, like, part of the deal. And when it was sold, I actually, like, pulled up the records at some point. I don't know how I saw that. I don't know if it was actually when we were still together. But basically, she got 10 grand off that sale.
I mean, I always wondered, like, for you, being close enough to her to marry her, right? Like, no one else had gotten that far. Did she ever tell you, you know, that she got a lot of help or that it wasn't all her or that,
no.
Or was it, these were, like, context clues, or were they told to you and then she just sort of, like,
well, frankly,
don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain?
She, like, told me, same kind of, like, I viewed her in this family, her mom, extremely well put together, bought it all. And frankly, I built myself up a little bit to try and match her level.
Yeah, I totally get that.
But no, she never, no.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah. You know what else is wild? So somebody else reached out to me in a similar way that we got connected. You didn't even really reach out to me. You just made the comment that I happened to see and I reached out to you, but somebody else reached out to me and they got a little glimpse of her at a later time than either of us. And, you know, it's just interesting how she can present herself and like what she took and very like connected to her in that first week or so. But it was like all we knew of her. Her husband got extremely ill. She was recently divorced and she was just like a very sad, timid, shy, like innocent girl who's never done a drug or has never done. And like that's what she chooses to show that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. Well, there's so much more here and it's going to continue to evolve. And Chelsea, we really appreciate telling the story of what sounds like a 3-4 whatever month whirlwind back in 2014 that, you know, and give more insight into who I was. It's yeah, the listeners are going to love it. That's for sure.
Excited to finally be able to watch Blink. So thank
you. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, unfortunately, there's no watch portion of Blink, but definitely whenever you get time, try to take a listen because it is pretty crazy. Okay, Jake, you know how we signed off episode one?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You got to do it again.
Sure. So chill. It's just like whatever random thought happens to be going through my head. I'll leave you with that. I have two of them. But since we just talked about the, we'll get rid of my milking stories. So I'll pivot to another one. So I just have this like foot treatment with the poison ants venom. And I've been thinking, like, how do they first, like, A, how do they extract it? Like, do they just put a bunch of fire ants in a blender and, like shit out the sheet and wrap your feet with it? But the other thought, so I want to know that. And then the other is, I want to know how they first realized, like, what poor person were they experimenting on? Where they were like, oh, we found it. That can cure extreme sensitivity.
Totally. Someone probably got stabbed by a bunch of fire ants and or whatever, like
who
hit by them.
Who happened like, to have like a foot thing?
And with that, we're out. Outro music.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.